Welcome to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. Comment is the big conversation, the great debate, but it can only be either of those if you join in. That's why, above all, I need your telephone calls. The number to ring is 44208-601-4555. You call us, we'll call you back, establish a clear line, and remember, if you get on the television with me, the volume on your television has to be at zero, or I'll have to move swiftly on because no one will understand either of us. You can also SMS me on 44780008066, or you can email me at comment@presstv.co.uk. You can even tweet me at comment_presstv. The emails, texts, and tweets will come up there on the comment wall. Now, first of all, an announcement. From next week, Comment will still be at 1900 GMT. So for UK viewers, the show will be at 8 p.m. UK time rather than, as now, 7 p.m. UK time. I wouldn't like you to miss the show. I'll give you several other indicators of that in the course of the next hour. We're talking about two subjects tonight. As the general election in Britain comes ever closer, fewer than 50 days now left in the campaign, and the polls get ever closer, the possibility of David Cameron and George Osborne being returned to power and Downing Street becomes ever more a danger, at least a danger from my point of view. It may or may not be a danger from yours. If it is, I'd like to know what it is that most worries you about David Cameron, Osborne, Boris Johnson, and the other Bullingdon boys getting back for another term. What's not to love about a government of multi-millionaires who have legislated and governed for the last 5 years in the interests of other multi-millionaires? Every single person in this country, on average, is worse off now in 2015 than they were in 2010. And that's before you even calculate the damage to public services of the wave of austerity which Cameron and Osborne have introduced. So what worries you most? Would it be the danger of the Conservatives taking us into more war? War in Syria, war in Iraq, who knows, war against Russia? Would it be the waste of £120 billion on a new generation of nuclear weapons that we don't need and cannot possibly use? Would it be the public service cuts that will take us back to levels of public expenditure last seen in the 1930s? Now, I know you might not like the cut of the other politicians' jibs, but do you like David Cameron? Do you want to see David Cameron back in Downing Street? That's one of two questions tonight. The second, though, has come alive, or rather begun to die and kill over the last couple of hours in a very serious way. The last thing that the Middle East needs is another war, another foreign invasion of another Arab country. But today, that's exactly what has begun. Saudi Arabia began a fierce bombardment from the air, of course, with their latest in American warplanes on the people in Yemen. The airport in Sana'a was mercilessly bombed. Dozens of civilians, most of them children, as it happens, have been killed. More airstrikes are reported by the hour. Of course, Saudi Arabia had to admit that it had consulted the United States before invading its neighbor, Yemen, before beginning something that may last a very long time and be very momentous in its consequences. The United States, of course, could not deny that which Saudi Arabia had just announced. So they went further. They said that they had formed a joint command cell with the regime of Saudi Arabia, unelected, undemocratic, barbaric, and all of that. The United States government had formed a joint command cell to coordinate the attacks on Yemen by Saudi forces. And just in the last hour, the Israeli defense minister has announced that Israel, too, will back what they described, I don't, but what they described as the Sunni axis, which has begun this war. Let me tell you my own position on this. I have only two that I would like to adumbrate. The first is, I'm against the division of Yemen. I always have been, and I always will be. So the territorial integrity of one state in Yemen is what I believe in. Secondly, I believe in a government of national unity. There is no way that the rebel Houthis can govern Yemen alone and for any significant period of time. But you know what? The attempts by Saudi Arabia and their useful idiots on Twitter to claim that this is a Sunni-Shia conflict that's going on in Yemen are either fools or liars, because the Houthis are in apparently unbreakable alliance with the much larger force who are not Shiite and who are the supporters of the deposed president, Ali Abdullah Saleh. The president who was deposed by violence that took place over many months and which I myself supported. I supported the revolution that overthrew Ali Abdullah Saleh, not because he was a Sunni, not at all, but because I believed that the people of Yemen deserve better. So what we have now is a confrontation between the Shiite Houthis, the Sunni supporters of the former president Ali Abdullah Saleh, fighting against an axis of Saudi Arabia, the United States of America, Israel, and Al-Qaeda. Does that sound familiar to you? Do you recognize that from any other conflicts, confrontations going on in the world? Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Israel, the United States, and Saudi Arabia? For me, it's all too familiar. Now, for the idiots on Twitter, I am not a Shiite. I am not a Shiite. I am not opposing the Saudi invasion of Yemen for any religious or sectarian reason. I am opposing any, all, every foreign invasion of any, all, every Arab country. Can you get that? Now, who knew that Saudi Arabia had such a powerful air force? Certainly not the people in Gaza who were slaughtered in the thousands just last summer. And Saudi Arabia did not lift one finger to help them. Never mind not sending its warplanes. They wouldn't even send a Kalashnikov bullet for the resistance in Gaza to continue their fight. They didn't even give a real to the starving people in Gaza, even though they promised billions of them. These treacherous snakes are not Sunni. Do you think they're Sunni in the casinos in London, in the bordellos in London, when they're belly dancing for Netanyahu? There is nothing Sunni about these people. Those who were being slaughtered in Gaza, every one of them was a Sunni, and Saudi Arabia didn't lift one finger to help them. These sick hypocrites who run the dictatorship in Saudi Arabia have nothing to do with Sunni. Nothing to do with Islam. Okay, I'm getting angry now. I better go to my first caller, Ali in Norwich. Go ahead, Ali.
Hello, Mr. Galloway. May I make a point about the forthcoming British general election and then Yemen quickly, please?
Yes, of course. Yes, go ahead.
I've lived in UK for 37 years, and as a layman or novice political observer, I would say the biggest problem with the British general election is voter apathy, or people who don't bother voting or want to vote.
I wouldn't say it's apathy, Ali. They're interested in politics. They're just not interested in the politicians that we have. It's not that they're apathetic. They're apoplectic about the pathetic nature of the British political class. But sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Not at all. In the 2010 general election, the present British Conservatives got 306 seats. That's 31% of the registered voters. Even with the coalition Lib Dems 57 seats, that's 36% of the total registered vote.
Yeah.
Which is hardly representative.
All right. That's absolutely right. We have a totally undemocratic system. I'll tell you what's projected to happen in Scotland, that the Nationalist Party, the Separatist Party, that want to break the country up, are scheduled to get less than 45% of the vote. But that less than 45% of the vote will give them almost 100% of the seats. That's how undemocratic it is.
So it's ruled by a minority or niche group. Now, the best prime minister UK has had, I would say, was Edward Heath, who famously said US foreign policy is based on US interest. What if, he went on to say, what if what is in US interest is not in the interest of United Kingdom? Now, the best prime minister Britain has never had is the Right Honourable George Galloway MP, People's Choice.
Thank you.
Now, reference the land of Queen of Sheba, Yemen.
Yes.
Yemen's revolution is a genuine people's revolution, and how the Arab Spring should have been, which was an opportunity squandered, like in Egypt, but inshallah not fully lost yet. Persian Gulf Cooperation Council, which between all its kings, they have not had one general election ever, and are on Islamic monarchies. Don't forget, can't have monarchies in Islam. So on Islamic, on elected monarchies are trying to sabotage a true people's uprising against one of their own. Remember, if one goes, the rest could and will inshallah follow. All the weapons bought by these on Islamic unelected monarchies are to be used against Muslims and their own people, and not Israel. This scheming script written in Washington, D.C. and read blatantly by the Saudi ambassador is the unholy, in that unholy land, or Babylon, as the Bible says, is being played out.
I hate to cut you off because it's so poetic and beautiful what you are saying, and it's one of the best calls I've heard on this show for a very long time. But I'm told that the switchboard is jammed with people who want to get on the television, and I already spoke too long. Beautiful call. Thanks for it. Let's go to South Wales. Hear Ramzan. He's always worth hearing. Go ahead, Ramzan.
Assalamu alaikum to you, George.
Alaikum salam.
Well, basically, they are at it again, and they are working for their masters, Saudi Arabia and all these Gulf Alliance countries, right? They are just working for Zionists, right? They're not working for the Islamic Ummah. They never, ever have. As your last caller said, that there is no king in Islamic Ummah.
No.
So therefore, they are just working for their masters, how they must want to play the game in the Middle East. They want to divide their countries into little tiny Persian states. So therefore, none of them got any power against Israel. So Israel is the dominant power in the Middle East. It will stay.
Tell me this, Ramzan. What do you think of the reports that there's an attempt being made to push Pakistan to send its soldiers into the civil war in Yemen. How do you fancy that?
Well, I mean, the thing is this, our Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif is a puppet of Saudi Arabia. When King Abdullah died, right, he went over there, spent so much time crawling around their feet, kissing their feet, right, saying, please give me more money, right, and I'll do what you want me to do. And therefore, we are having a lot of bombing in Pakistan itself. Whenever Nawaz Sharif came in power, we had more bombing and sectarian killing in Pakistan than any other prime minister who stayed in power.
Okay, so Ramzan, must press on. Thanks for the call. Hassan's in Belgium. Hassan, welcome.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I would just like to say to everyone who's thinking that this is a Sunni-Shia conflict to look at Libya, to look at Tunisia, what happened, to look at Egypt, what is happening. There is not one mention of Shia or Sunni. This is Muslims against other Muslims. This is exactly what the Zionist enemies want us to do. They want us to finish each other off so they don't have to do it for us. They just keep on giving us weapons, and we're stupid enough to kill each other. Because it's not enough to blame the Zionist entity or America. It is us that are pulling the triggers that are killing our own. So I would just like to say that I am shocked to see people bombing other people, because let's not forget they are not bombing Shias in Yemen. They are bombing the people. They are bombing the airport that they use to get humanitarian help from other countries. Just a few days ago, 150 people died. I don't care if they were Shia or Sunni. They were people praying in
Hassan,
the mosque.
Hassan, Saudi Arabia doesn't care tuppence for the people of Yemen. If it did, Yemen would not be one of the poorest countries in the world, next door to one of the richest countries in the world, Saudi Arabia. They couldn't care tuppence for the Sunnis or the Shiites in Yemen. That's not what this is about. This is about defending their own corrupted throne. That's all it's about. Hassan, thanks for the call. Mrs. Hussein is on next. I don't know from where. Go ahead, Mrs. Hussein.
Yes, from UK, Buckinghamshire, George.
You're more than welcome. Go ahead, madam.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Again, Yemen has now been invaded by the bloodthirsty Saudi Wahhabi regulars. The black-hearted American president knew that these man-eaters, these man-eaters wanted more human hearts. This is quite clearly Wahhabi versus Shia, not Sunni versus Shia. Nothing to do with Sunni, but Wahhabi versus Shia Muslims.
Well, I don't actually agree with that. I've got nothing against Wahhabis. The Saudi regime are not Wahhabi. They're corrupted hypocrites. When they get off the plane in London, they head straight for the sinks and the dens of sin. And they roll around in those sinks until they're forced to go back again. There's nothing Wahhabi about these hypocrites. And they're not fighting Shiites. Actually, most of the people in the revolution in Yemen are not Shiite. Anyway, let me go to Denmark quickly. Bakir. Go ahead, Bakir. Bakir, are you there?
Yeah, assalamu alaikum, Josh, and good evening.
Wa alaikum salam, you're welcome, go ahead.
Yeah. When we look at the weak Saudi regime, we saw back in 2011 in Bahrain, a popular revolution was taking place. Saudi Arabia was feeling threatened, and they sent their forces into Bahrain, and now we're seeing it again. And now, and I warned the Saudi regime, if they invade Yemen, it would be much more that... more dangerous to Saudi Arabia, because it could set the whole entire Middle East on fire.
It will be the graveyard. It will be the graveyard of the Saudi dictatorship if they invade Yemen on the ground. That's why they want the poor Pakistanis, whose workers in Saudi Arabia they treat like slaves. slaves. They want them to give their life's blood in Yemen to defend the corrupted hypocrites of the Saudi regime. That's the truth of the matter. Thanks, Bakir. Zulfikar in Texas. Go ahead.
Hello there, Mr. George.
Good evening. Go ahead, sir. Quickly.
Yes, sir. This is the reason. Can't you see around the world the Shia people are being slaughtered
by the
hand of Takfiri Wahhabi and Salafi? Look, listen, sir.
So are Sunnis. Sunnis are being slaughtered too.
No, there's no Sunni. Sunni is a different patron of the Islam. Sunni is our brother. Sunni are not killing the Shias. The Shia has been slaughtered by hand of Takfiri Wahhabis. Wahhabi ideology in Islam has nothing to do with the Sunni. They have created themselves as a monarchy who follow Bani Umayyah. The house of Bani Umayyah is right now the house of Al Saud. The Mawiyah, Abu Sufyan, and his son Yazid, this is the ideology they are abducted by the Al Saud house. These Wahhabi are brainwashing all new generation, and they are against Shia Islam, which is the Imam Hussein alayhi salam's Islam. Islam of Muhammad, peace be upon him. Islam, what Muhammad and Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam and their followers has portrayed what the Islam is, what Quran said, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Islam is this. Whoever follows man kuntum maula fahaza aliyan maula, they have a true Islam. Our Sunni brother has a true Islam. Wahhabi has nothing to do with Islam, sir.
Okay. Okay, thanks for that. In Texas, Barry's in Norway. Go ahead, Barry. Barry, you're on the air.
Yeah, good evening, George.
Good evening to you, sir. Go ahead.
Just a comment for these two, the election and Yemen. This is my advice to my brothers and sisters in Great Britain. Let them know the word. It's a simple English word. Conservative. They should know the meaning of conservative. This, David Cameron, he's a Zionist. These rich puppets, they don't have any sympathy for the British. They don't care about the poor or neither for the students, especially the students, in the whole of Great Britain. They are just there for themselves, for their pockets. So the British, those who have their brain, please, the next election, try and vote for the right person. I wish you, George, were not in this program so that I could talk something about you. Let them elect you to be the next Prime Minister of Great Britain. There will be no poverty. And every child, even a dog, will have a place in the university. Number two, concerning Yemen.
Yes.
Look, Yemen, of course, if Saudi Arabia had sympathy for Yemen, they would have pushed more money into Yemen, technology, education, but they don't care about Yemen.
Not at all. The people in Yemen are starving, Barry. Yemen is the poorest country in the world, and its next door neighbor is the richest country in the world. That's how much Saudi Arabia cares about Yemen.
So all this war is not about, Yemen. This is a Zionist war. The war, it's a war of Israel and America. Saudi, there is no even democracy in Saudi. And this Saudi kingdom, they don't care about the Muslim Ummah. Believe me, if you from North Korea to Timbuktu, if you meet a young kid today, you ask him about the kingdom and the Saudi Mecca, they say it's two different things, really. These people, they take their money and then just send it to casinos in Las Vegas, in London, in buying women, you name it. But Yemen, if they attack Yemen, Yemenis will never they'll never give up. They will fight to the center of to that kingdom inside.
Exactly so. The Yemenis are very, very, very good fighters. And they will be praying this evening for the overfed Saudi army, the army of the dictatorship, to enter their country. If they do, it will be the graveyard of the Saudi dictatorship. I don't believe that they will. I'm certain that the Americans will not. I'm certain that the British will not. But what I'm not so certain about is whether the government of Pakistan will, for one reason or another, I put it no higher than that, send their army in instead. I'll be back very shortly, God willing, after a short news bulletin. Don't go away. Welcome back to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV. Still the voice of the voiceless. Debate is raging. Calls coming in from all over the world. about our two subjects this evening. But first, let me remind you that from next week, Comment will still be at 1900 GMT. So for UK viewers, the show will be at 8 p.m. UK time. Don't forget that. I wouldn't like you to miss any of the show. Tonight we're talking about the danger of the British Conservative Party, David Cameron et al., getting back into power. What's not to love? Look at them. In fact, look at both sides. But if you have any sense, you'll throw this man and that woman out if you're a UK voter at the general election on the 7th of May. The election's coming ever closer. That's the leader of the opposition and that's the deputy prime minister. I agree, it's not much to choose from. But the one thing surely that anybody with any sense will do will be get rid of him from Downing Street. So that's one of our subjects tonight. What is it that worries you particularly about a British Conservative victory in the general election? And of course, we're also looking at the Tories' foreign policy, the role that they have played in the destruction of so much of Syria and the death of so many in Syria. And who knows if he's allowed to, whether he'll be joining the war against Yemen also. But the second subject we're discussing tonight is indeed about Yemen. And how could it not be? A new war has begun this day in Yemen, in the Middle East, where surely we didn't need another war. Surely we didn't need another foreign invasion of another Arab country. But we've got one. The United States and Saudi Arabia today began a full-scale invasion of Yemen. Not with boots on the ground, of course. They hope to, by one means or another, force the Pakistani army in there to bleed for them instead. But they'll provide the air power. Indeed, they already are. A joint planning cell has been created between the United States and Saudi Arabia. And the Israeli Defense Minister, just this very evening, says that Israel will support them. You kind of couldn't make that up. The defense minister of Netanyahu is supporting the Saudi dictatorship. They're always telling us how Sunni they are, how Muslim they are. Yet when the Sunni Muslims of Palestine were bleeding in their thousands to death in Gaza just last summer, the great champions of Sunni Islam, the House of Al Saud, didn't lift a finger to help them. Indeed, they were belly dancing for the people who were killing them. That's my view. If you've got a different point of view, your call is very, very welcome. If you have the same view as me, it's equally welcome. Let's take Farida, who's in the United Kingdom, on the subject of Yemen. Farida, welcome.
Thank you, George. Good evening.
Good evening to you.
I'm going to say something which pains me, but I swear to you, George, I have come to the conclusion that nobody in the Islamic world deserves to call themselves Muslims anymore. I don't care whether you are from the Shia, the Sunni, the Wahhabi, whatever sect you think that is more important than the Ummah itself. We have become now like a flock of sheep, mindless, absolutely brain dead, being led by a handful of our leaders to slaughter. And we are going there willingly under different colored banners. And I have a feeling that if the Prophet, peace be upon him, came back today, he would refuse to recognize the entire Muslim Ummah as his people. Because this being done in the name of Islam does not sit very well with me or with anybody else with one gray cell working. There is absolutely no justification for what Saudi Arabia is doing or any of the Muslim countries who think that waging war on each other is being done in the name of Islam. No, we have forfeited the right to call ourselves a Muslim Ummah.
That's very powerful call, Farida. I hope that you're not correct, but it was a very powerful and moving call. Let's go to Canada, to Halifax, Nova Scotia, and talk to Gary. Go ahead, Gary.
Good evening, George.
Good evening to you, sir.
This horror that started around midnight our time yesterday now in the Saudi-Yemeni border area. There's a word for that in our political discourse in the West, Guernica. And no one has wanted to draw this comparison that I've seen so far today in any of the commentaries I've looked at. But it is very similar that you have an attack on an entirely defenseless population, and it's deliberately meant to terrorize the rest of that population into simply submitting. And if they don't submit, they'll just be subjected to more. And I think the whole world can see that. And that's very important to keep in mind when people are trying to figure out their position vis-a-vis the United States being involved, or Iran, or any of the other outside entities. What it comes down to is that the Saudi regime, for better or worse, has chosen this course and has support for this course. And this will be condemned by everyone, and the Yemenis will have the last word.
Well, Gary, in my experience, it's not easy to make a Yemeni submit. So they've bitten off more than they can chew. Thanks for that great call from North America. Let's stay in North America, talk to Faz, who's in the United States. Faz, welcome to the show.
Hi, George. I'm actually from Canada, but from the UK, but based in Canada, first-time caller.
Okay.
And I just want to share some thoughts about the Conservative government.
Okay.
And the elections. So to me, it just strikes me as bizarre, not just as an economist, as a lecturer, but also just as somebody who has lived in the UK back in the 80s, that there are still people out there who somehow think that it's a good idea to vote for the Conservative government, especially after what Margaret Thatcher did to the manufacturing sector. In fact, she instigated the entire socioeconomic divide between the north of the country and the south. Inequality keeps on rising. You know, people can't climb the socioeconomic ladder. And unfortunately, what's happened is that if you look at the mainstream political system, there is no alternative, really, to this neoliberal approach to economics that has dominated our mainstream political spectrum. And it happens to be 1997, which is the most unfortunate year, because that's the year when your best friend Anthony Blair came to power. And unfortunately, with his rise to power, he's destroyed virtually any alternative or bulwark to this whole idea of neoliberal economic mantra. And so I just urge the people to think twice before voting for the Conservative Party, because they certainly don't have the interest of the average working class individual at heart.
Faz, I couldn't put that better myself. I'm not going to try. Thanks indeed for a wonderful call from an expat, as we call ourselves, other people we call immigrants. He's out there in Canada. Ibrahim, on the other hand, is in Uganda and wants to talk about Yemen. Ibrahim, welcome to the show.
Yes, good evening, George.
Good evening, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, in fact, I'm here wondering why Saudi Arabia is the key factor on destabilizing Arab countries. When you look at Egypt, Saudi Arabia was number one. When you look at the many Arab countries, Saudi Arabia is a part of them. Are they really Muslims? Why do they go on destabilizing other countries? Yet they should be the best example to unite these Arab countries.
Well, absolutely correct.
Muslims?
You're absolutely correct. It's not a question I can answer, and I doubt if it's one that they can answer either. Ibrahim in Uganda, thanks. Here's Kafan in Los Angeles in the United States. Kafan, go ahead.
Yeah, how are you doing, George? Good evening.
Good evening to you, sir.
You see, I have a comment regarding the situation. I'm sorry?
Yeah, go on. You're on the air.
Okay. I have a comment regarding the situation in, you know, in Yemen and also some of the Islamic countries. I just wondering why, I mean, if Saudi Arabia, they have the influence to influence Egypt to go ahead and bring their army to fight Yemen, why they don't influence the Egyptian to open the border on Gaza and to let the food and the sick people to go be to be treated, you know, outside of the country, or to open those to open the border over there, if they have the influence with all the all type of stuff. But I think what's happening is the Saudis is the most corrupted country in the face of this earth. I live over here in Los Angeles, and when sometime I have seen so many Saudi students, they come over here, they come from the airport right away to the bar. And if you want to look all over San Francisco, or you go to Los Angeles, and you go to all over those places.
What a pity. I was really enjoying that call. Kafan in Los Angeles, thanks for that. Do try and get back to us another time. Abdul is in Nigeria on Yemen. Abdul, welcome to the show. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Hello, Mr. President. I want to ask, is this invasion on the interest of Yemen, Yemenis, or for the interest of the Saudi, who is? Are you hearing me well?
Abdul, you'll have to turn the volume down on your TV.
In the interest of the Yemenis or for the interest of the Saudi, who against Shia. And seem to be war between Shia and the Sunni. I don't take it as a Saudi was in the Yemen for the interest of the Yemenis. Because now I am seeing it just like a Western bloc and the Eastern bloc of them. Now they are started Sunni bloc and the Eastern bloc.
Okay, Abdul, I need to press on, as I keep threatening to do, because if the volume on your television is not down at zero, you're hearing yourself 3 seconds after you've spoken. And the problem is, so do all the other viewers hear it twice. We are talking about Yemen, and we're talking about the British general election, and we really have been around the world this evening. I really must knock something on the head. This is nothing to do with Sunni versus Shia. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Most of the people in the popular revolution in Yemen are Sunni, not Shia. Sunni, not Shia. The Houthis are Shia. The Zaydi supporters of Ali Abdullah Saleh are not Shia. And so please resist this foolish sectarian game where they try to divide the Ummah on a sectarian basis, and one part of it asks the United States and Israel to do the fighting for them. Please, please, please resist it. We're back on to Los Angeles. Kafan, welcome back. Go on. Finish your call.
Yeah, I just want to finish.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah, go on. You're on the air. Finish your call.
Yeah, I just want to finish my call. I mean, if this country is a Muslim country and their kids is the good fruit of this country, how come all over the world you see the most corrupted kids all over the, you go to Monte Carlo, you see all those kids of the Saudis, you know, bar, prostitution, corruption, everything is bad, everything evil those people do doing all over the world. If this is an Islamic country and bring a good fruit, where is the good fruit of those kids? Where is the good fruit of this country?
Never mind the kids. Let's not blame the kids. I don't want to get too down and dirty, but I live in London. I see them. I know what they do in London. It's not that they are Wahhabis. They can be Wahhabis. That's not the problem. The problem is they're corrupted hypocrites who are doing everything but practice Islam. Their friends and allies are the enemies of Islam. And yet they want to fool idiots amongst the Ummah that they're fighting somehow for Sunni. Sunni. The people in Gaza are all Sunni. And you left them to die. You left them to be slaughtered. You're leaving them starving. Sunni? Really? Yassin is in Cairo. Yassin, welcome.
Yes, Mr. John.
Welcome, sir. Go ahead.
This is so outrageous that is happening in the Middle East. What is happening is that Saudi Arabia, with its dictator, so-called king, are trying to implement the policies of the Zionists in the Middle East. It's their role to make sure that there is always a destabilized situation in the Middle East. What is happening right now in Yemen, I think it's probably going to cause the third world war. That's what they want. Because the Muslims think we are fooled, that it's against the Shia and the Sunni, but it's not. Right now, like you say, there are lots of Shia than Sunnis in Yemen. The Muslims would come in, they would probably think that they are going to help out, that they are probably Saudi is trying to help out, but that's exactly what the Zionists want. Let's look and see what is really happening there and help our friends. Because this is going to cause the third world war, for God's sake.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't know about a third world war, but it's going to be one gigantic conflict, this. If they succeed in persuading Pakistan to be the boots on the ground, to give their life's blood to defend the Saudi dictatorship of corrupt hypocrites, believe me, the earth will burn for a long time and much, much beyond the borders of Yemen. Thanks for the call, Yassin. Don't often hear from Cairo. Musa is in Nigeria. Let's hear from Musa. Go ahead, sir. Musa?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, go on.
Thank you. Please, my question. Yes, George. My question is this. Though, actually, you have already answered some of my questions, but what was the reason behind the Saudis in bombarding Yemen? Why are they doing this for them? Why? What was the purpose of doing this? To the best of your knowledge.
Why are they doing it? They're doing it to fight a proxy war against Iran using the bodies of the Yemenis and the Pakistanis if they can get away with it. They're doing it to defend their own corrupted throne, which is on its last legs. There are 30,000 princes, just princes. They don't count the princesses. 30,000 princes in Saudi Arabia. Every one of them has to have their mouths filled with gold to the tune of millions upon millions. Do the maths. The price of oil is very low. Taxes, which were non-existent in Saudi Arabia, are now very high. The standard of living in Saudi Arabia is now very low in the richest country on the earth, and to whom God gave all this bounty. The Pakistanis who used to drive the cabs, the yellow cabs in Saudi Arabia, are now banned from driving cabs in Saudi Arabia. They're not allowed to drive cabs, but they want them to fight and die for Saudi Arabia in Yemen. And the reason is because the Saudis have to be given the jobs of driving the cabs. And when Saudis are driving taxis, you know that the end time is coming, at least for the regime in Saudi Arabia. Let's go to Kenya, Mombasa. Sharif, welcome.
Assalamu alaikum, Mr. Galloway.
Walaikum salam. Very nice to hear from Mombasa. Go on.
Yeah, what I'd like to say is that, first of all, it's very wrong to call Saudi Arabia an Islamic state, because first, what we have in Saudi Arabia, we don't have an Islamic bank. We have a riba institution in Saudi Arabia. So Saudi Arabia should not be seen to be the fighting for Islam. Number two, what I'm thinking about Yemen is that the whole thing about was brought in by British and the Wahhabism, which was brought in the 1750s, which was just to divide Islam, and they completed in the First World War by bringing down the Ottoman Empire. So the whole thing should be seen that when the Industrial Revolution was there, when they were using coal, they wanted the oil, and they created and divided the Muslim nation, and Muhammad Abdul Wahhab was created in 1750. It was just to divide Muslims, to contradict Islam. Wahhabism is the evil of everything. So let's call a spade a spade. Wahhabism is what bombed the Twin Towers. Wahhabism is in Syria. Wahhabism is everywhere. And calling it a legitimate government of Yemen is very wrong, because Hadi was elected for 2 years and is in his third year right now. So by the hypocrisy of them saying that Hadi is a legitimate government, we don't have any legitimacy government in Saudi Arabia.
No.
We don't elect anybody. So Sisi is there. He's on board. How can you call a legitimate government like Sisi?
So well, Sisi's joined the war, too.
Thank you very much.
Sisi, the head of the military junta in Egypt, has joined the war. The unelected kings of Arabia have joined the war. The Israel defense minister tonight has joined the war. And lame duck Obama has joined the war. You couldn't make it up. What a motley crew, Sharif. That's a coalition, not of decisive storm. That's a coalition of derisive scorn. Last call, Fuad in Ethiopia. Welcome, Fuad.
Well, I say.
Go ahead, Fuad, and turn your television down.
Well, what I wanted to say on the issues...
Fuad, put your television down.
Okay. I hope it's okay, well.
Go on, quickly.
My message to every Muslim is that the root problem of Muslim world is Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is a chain or a ladder with which the Nasaras and the Yehudas ride on their ways of abolishing Islam from the world. The problem and the destruction of Libya was Saudi Arabia. The issue of the Mali was Saudi Arabia. The main problem within the Iraq is the disease disseminated from Saudi Arabia.
Well, I think that's a good note to end on, Fuad. We did lose some time because of your TV volume earlier. Forgive me for that. Remember, next week, 1900 GMT, that's 8 p.m. UK time. Inshallah, see you then.
Hello, just comment your name and location and your contact number. And just make sure your television volume is set up to 0.
0, 0. Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, I know. You need to put through your phone number and then we'll be back. Comment.